Today on Maine Calling, towns amp up their focus on outdoor recreation. Certain Maine towns have long been considered hubs for outdoors enthusiasts. Think Greenville, Jackman, or Bethel. But several other towns and cities are now leaning in, celebrating their natural attractions, and intentionally using them as a way to attract tourists, new residents, and investment. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn how places as diverse as Westbrook and Rockland hope to harness the popularity of outdoor recreation as part of a larger economic development plan. The State Office of Tourism believes there is a lot of untapped potential. This program is part of our series, New Life for Old Towns. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org. And by Verrill, committed to delivering trusted legal services in Maine and throughout the Northeast for 163 years. Learn more at verrill-law.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Many Maine towns are focused on breathing new life into their downtown economies, and some are using the great outdoors as a way to do it. Today's program is part of our Maine Calling series, New Life for Old Towns, where we highlight how Maine communities are revitalizing. Joining me for this hour, Ann Ball, who's Senior Program Director for the Maine Downtown Center, and Carol Ann Willette, who is Director of Tourism, Film, and Outdoor Recreation with the Maine Office of Tourism. We invite you to join the conversation. What is happening in your town or city? Is ecotourism all the buzz? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to both of you. Welcome back to both of you on Maine Calling. Carol Ann, I'll start with you. We've had you on the program before to talk about outdoor recreation, and now your job has shifted to leading the Office of Tourism. Turns out those two areas are closely related in Maine. Characterize that. How important is outdoor recreation to Maine's economy?
So thank you, Jennifer, for inviting me back. Really happy to be here with Anne for this discussion. But outdoor recreation is really important to Maine's overall economy. And in so many ways, the intersection with tourism is certainly one of them. And for downtowns in particular, and so many of our communities across the state, focusing on outdoor recreation and investing in those assets is a great way not only to attract visitors, but also to attract talent, retain talent, attract new business. So combining this effort is really important for ultimately resident quality of life and enhancing visitor experience.
And I'll ask you, Anne, I'm going to build on what Carol Ann said about not just attracting tourists, but also future talent. What do we know about people who are moving to Maine from other places, whether they're young people at the beginning of their careers or people who are mid-career? Are they telling you we want to live in this town because of its access to outdoor recreation?
Well, I think, thank you for having me, first of all. And I think downtowns are a draw in Maine for attracting visitors, attracting people who want to live here and work here and build their lives here. When we think of Maine downtowns, those of us that are living here, they're just part of our life. But if you are from outside of Maine, you are really amazed by the texture, the old buildings, the walkability, the public art, all the wonderful things that downtowns provide. And so they really are places that are attracting workforce and attracting talent and people. And then they also feed into the tourism economy and the outdoor recreation opportunities, as Carol Ann said, because people are coming in and they need a place to load up before they head into the wilderness. And then when they come out, they are so happy to go to a downtown and experience local businesses, local breweries, and really have an opportunity to spend time in these communities.
Caroline, I understand that you, Maine, recently led a study and came up with the Maine Outdoor Recreation Economy Roadmap. But really, the bottom line there is, as many people as come to Maine for the outdoor economy, for outdoor recreation, the conclusion of the study, wasn't it, that there's a lot of room for growth?
Oh, absolutely. And the downtowns are a perfect place for that growth. And we see that happening in some of the towns that are going to be joining us today. So not only from just an experience perspective, whether it's outfitters in these downtowns that are connecting to the Main Street communities, or whether it's product manufacturers and retailers also in the outdoor recreation space. So there's a really interesting mix that we're starting to see in the revitalized mill spaces and connecting again directly to those main streets, because as Ann mentioned, those are the places where visitors are looking for those unique shopping, dining, and arts and cultural activities. And as we look at visitor trends and what we're looking at in the Office of Tourism from the destination management plan perspective, is really how do we have visitors connect with local and small businesses, are respectful of communities and culture, and have what community tourism calls this really deep experience, uncovering sort of hidden gems. So it can be in the outdoors, and it can be connecting the arts and the outdoors, and then again, getting right down into the downtowns so that people are, you know, spending money at local businesses and supporting them. So all of that is it really wrapped together.
And Anne, it sounds to me like part of this is, and let's see if I can express this correctly, getting into the mindset maybe of somebody who doesn't live in Maine, but might want to visit Maine, might want to move to Maine, might want to move their business to Maine. We think of, many people in Maine think of outdoor recreation as going somewhere into the wilderness and going on a hike or going, you know, canoeing in a beautiful, pristine place, or going to that precious summer camp. But somebody else might just think of living in a place where you can go hiking, you know, you can walk to a trail, as something different and something that Maine offers. And so that's sort of the mindset here, right, Anne? When you're thinking about downtowns, how can this downtown area offer outdoor recreation?
Absolutely. And the opportunities are endless, whether you are on a working waterfront where you can connect with kayaking right there on the ocean, or you are taking a yoga class on the Kennebec River in downtown Gardner. I mean, there are opportunities to connect to trail systems, to go fly fishing. I mean, the opportunities from those downtowns are accessible. They're low barrier. And I think we're working really hard to align our work in the downtowns with the plan that the Office of Outdoor Recreation did, so that we can bring those opportunities alive, just as Carol Ann said.
Okay. I'd like each of you all to, and we are going to have people from different towns call in. So, but why don't you tell us about something that you're excited about and maybe thinks about this a little bit differently than we thought about it before. Carol Ann, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think there's so many areas across the state that have seen opportunity here. And again, we'll hear from some of the spots that I've seen differences in the last few years. Certainly the Katahdin region, looking at the work of the Katahdin Collaborative, you know, inspiring youth in the town to understand the outdoor world that's around them and what opportunities that presents to keep them there, but also as a way to really have deep visitor experiences that are connected to the work of the Outdoor Sport Institute and things like that. But there are regions just about everywhere in the state that have seen the opportunity and are starting to think about not having it, as you mentioned, be sort of this only remote experience, but really tying it into daily life and find those sort of unique pieces of a community that you may not have discovered before. So connecting that outdoor recreation right into the community is really critical.
And Carol, something that just popped to my mind as you were talking about the youth efforts in the Katahdin region. Is this possibly also about taking the young people and having them think about the future in their region differently, instead of saying, there are no opportunities where I live, I have to move away, to say, Well, you know what? Maybe I could be part of something that I create here.
Yes, that's it, Jennifer. Absolutely. I see Anne shaking her head too. I'll let her jump in, but that's a huge piece of it.
Anne.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think Christina Cannon's going to be joining us from Skowhegan, and that is a big part of their effort in Skowhegan, is really building a young workforce and opportunities for young adults to think, oh, I could be a Maine guide, or I could open, a rental company in Skowhegan as they are transforming their community into an outdoor recreation-centric place.
So, Anne, we know that a lot of people, especially since the beginning of the pandemic, have been moving to Maine. We know that they've been moving to every county in Maine. So it's not just about bringing people here to fill the jobs, but also about the kind of opportunities that are available for young people.
Absolutely. And I think the downtowns are recognizing that asset right in their communities and the through AmeriCorps programs and really bringing those young adults to Maine through opportunities to think about, again, what they could do and how they could live here. I think the agriculture sector has a lot of work thinking about young adult farm owners and all sorts of things. And the other thing that matters to young adults when thinking about tourism in particular is impact and really spending your money in a place that makes good sense, right? You're spending your money on a place that matters. And so when you think about these tourism projects we're going to hear about today, they're having impact. They're supporting getting young adults on the river in Westbrook, or they are, supporting the apprentice shop in downtown Rockland. And so impact tourism is very important to that age group as well.
Well, we mentioned that we'd hear from her, and here she is. Christina Cannon is President and CEO of Main Street Skowhegan. Thanks so much for calling in, Christina.
Sure, happy to help.
Well, on Maine Calling, we've talked a lot about other things happening in Skowhegan, such as Maine Grains. But you are right on the cusp of something really big up there. Tell us about what's going to happen on the Kennebec River through Skowhegan.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we actually you're going to hear it first from me today. We received our federal permit from the Army Corps for our Whitewater Park that has been anticipated for many, many years now up here in downtown Skowhegan, where we're going to be actually building a wave that will be adjustable and people will be able to actually surf or kayak in our downtown River Gorge, right here in Skowhegan.
When did you receive the grant? I knew it was going to be any day now.
It's actually, so we have grant
The
funding
permit,
set
excuse
aside
me,
for
the permit.
construction.
Yeah, when did you receive the permit? I'm sorry.
Well, we received it a couple weeks ago, and we are getting ready to sign it, and we are still awaiting our main DEP permit, but the federal permit has been received, and we're excited about that for sure.
Okay, so again, it's going to be a whitewater park, but people are also going to be able to surf there in downtown Skowhegan?
Yeah, and actually, I think there's a lot of misnomers out there. It's actually not really going to be a rafting park. It'll be for kayaking and surfing.
Okay, wow. And this is part of a bigger economic development plan, right? I mean, you're not going to have people just coming and staying locally and getting on the river and leaving. There are going to be other opportunities. Tell me about them. What is the vision?
Sure. The greater vision includes an enhanced and expanded trail network that you can access right from downtown, a riverfront promenade with a boardwalk and lots of gathering spaces that connects the Kennebec to our commercial district. And then we also have a really great Skowhegan Outdoors AmeriCorps program that runs free outdoor programs in our walk-in gear lending library right in downtown Skowhegan as well. And so we're getting local youth and families out on the river, out onto our trails, and really increasing and improving health and wellness outcomes here in central Maine.
Wow, Christine, and I know there's so much else happening as well. I know from talking to folks at the Maine Appalachian Trail Center, Trail Club, that they're hoping to build a big supply center there in Skowhegan as well. So I know that it's really happening in Skowhegan. If you could look down the road and you could see Skowhegan in 10 years, 20 years, what would it look like?
Well, we're going to be one of Maine's premier outdoor recreation hubs, and we're already seeing that type of momentum take hold from a development perspective, and people are excited about what we're doing. In fact, we have more than $30 million of anticipated or current investment happening in downtown Skowhegan as a result of this greater vision and plan for outdoor recreation as a tool for community transformation.
Wow. Well, Christina, thank you so much for calling in. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell us about this project that I didn't ask you?
Well, I just think that it's, as Carol Ann and Anne have both noted, you know, community development through outdoor recreation is so important. And it's not just about tourists and bringing in people and businesses, though that's extremely important. It's really got to be about your local community first and planning and building for your community. And then people will visit and, you know, want to move to places that their community already loves.
Christina Cannon is with Main Street Skowhegan. Thanks so much for calling in today. This is such a huge project, Carol Ann. Is anything else going on in the state at that scale?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question, Jennifer. This one certainly is a big one. I'm going to have to think on that one a little
bit
more.
That's okay. The answer doesn't have to be yes, but I mean, I think it's really interesting. People I've talked to about what's going on in Skowhegan seem to have no idea. So I think this is going to be a big surprise.
I think so, too. I think a lot of just really quickly communities investing in mountain biking has been a big piece as well, because trail building is definitely a huge investment. So when you look to places like Bethel, Carabasset Valley, even central Maine, as well as, well, I know we'll hear from Rockland, but the Camden-Rockland area has done a lot of investment in that as well. So, I mean, takes time and certainly a lot of energy and effort on the volunteers that are part of those initiatives.
And Anne, you're focusing on downtowns, but a lot of these mountain bike trails are accessible from downtowns, right? People can start there and head out.
Absolutely. I mean, these are assets to our downtowns and vice versa. Rumford is doing some trail development. Waterville is expanding some of their trail development, and it matters to every one of these communities. And the downtowns matter to the people coming to use the trail systems.
All right. Well, we are talking about towns in Maine, towns and cities focused on breathing new life into their communities by using outdoor recreation, ecotourism, opportunities for people who live in their own communities to get outdoors without much effort. What's going on in your town? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. How are towns revitalizing by using ecotourism, outdoor recreation, as sort of the peg, the attraction? My guest today, Carol Ann Ouellette, who is director of the Office of Tourism, Film, and Outdoor Recreation with the Maine Office of Tourism, and Anne Ball is senior program director for the Maine Downtown Center. We invite you to join the conversation. Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Amy Groms-Pulaski, who is executive director of Discover Downtown Westbrook. Thanks so much for calling in, Amy. Oh, and I understand I mispronounced your name, Amy Groms-Pulaski. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about Westbrook and how you're using some natural attractions to attract people, because I think that most people don't think of Westbrook as the kind of place you would head for outdoor activities.
It's true. It's true. It's so Westbrook, as you know, is about 15, 20 minutes from downtown Portland, from the riverfront or from the oceanfront. And one of the things that's unique about Westbrook is that we have the Penobscot River that travels through us. It's not a divider like the way it is in many communities that separates communities. It's actually a connector. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to connect the people from Westbrook and the people from the wider community and invite people in to connect with the Penobscot River.
You know, I've seen pictures from back in the day when people would travel to Westbrook and have picnics on the riverbank, that it was a destination for people who lived in Portland and, to escape an urban environment. So basically kind of trying to return to the past a little bit.
We are. And Westbrook has gone through tremendous transformation over the last years. And actually, that's part of what our tourism project is about. We've had both the Sappy and the mills in town that have had a huge impact on our community, on our businesses, as well as on the river. And through some really ground roots efforts, the river has been cleaned up, revitalized. It's a healthier river now. And we want people to experience it firsthand. And so the project that we're doing is called Dusk to Dark, a paddle on the Penobscot, where you start the paddling experience at dusk. You leave right from the Dana Wort Mill and you travel upriver as the night becomes darker. And we've organized six paddles throughout the summer, both somewhat falling close to the new and the full moon. So depending on whenever you schedule your trip, it might be a full moon in its full brightness. You might get to see the river that way or under the night sky and the stars.
I want to talk about the ice disc. And I shouldn't say the ice disc because there was more than one, but the big one in 2019 got so much attention, both here in Maine and nationally. It was an amazing sight. Did that impact your thinking about the future of Westbrook?
The ice disc was such a unique phenomenon that it did really get both national and international attention. It really shined a spotlight on our river and helped people to focus more. How can we invest in this more?
Let me ask you about challenges, because Westbrook's growing really, really quickly. I think maybe someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but Westbrook and Scarborough are just at lightning speed in Maine in terms of growth. And I'm wondering if there are any, if there's any cautionary advice to other communities looking to grow in the way that Westbrook has.
Well, one of the things that Westbrook has done really well is they've brought in more and more residential housing close to the downtown. And I think that if you want to revitalize your downtown, you need it to be walkable. You need it to connect with your downtown businesses. And by doing that, you help to support both your business community, your downtowns. So by investing in housing of all sorts that address the needs of all people, you can really help to grow and kind of revitalize your downtowns.
Yeah, no point in having walking trails if you have to drive to get to the walking trail, right?
True.
Yeah, well thanks so
much. That's not true.
Well, but it's a lot easier if you don't have to drive. Thank you so much for calling in. Amy Gromes-Pulaski is with Discover Downtown Westbrook. We're going to go to Barbara calling from Mount Vernon. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. How are we doing?
Oh, Barbara, it's kind of hard to hear you. Can you get a little closer to your mouthpiece of your phone?
Well, I'm on the road here.
Oh, that's good. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. The reason I'm calling is because these two ladies are proposing some lovely stuff. But the basic problem is that downtown areas across the country have been fleeing to the suburbs for 30 years. When I go to downtown Augusta, which I happened to be the other day, it is a dump. It is also the capital of our state. That's a shame right there. How, therefore, are folks who come to Maine to go hiking or skiing or kayaking going to change the configuration of our downtowns? This is an economic and finance issue, in my opinion, and I would like to see somebody address that issue.
Yeah, Barbara, thank you. So, and that's a good question for Anne. And Anne, it's no secret that people like charm.
Yeah. So it's a great question. And what is happening in Maine and nationally through the National Main Street Center, which is, just to be clear, it's a 45-year-old approach to economic development that was founded in a response to the development of malls, because malls were built and they were pulling away from these historic downtowns, which have traditionally had the hardware store and the pharmacy and the local movie theater all along the Main Street. And the approach is working. It's very successful nationally. There are over 1,200 nationally accredited Main Streets around the country. And we have 11 of those communities in Maine that work on this kind of comprehensive approach to downtown revitalization. So they're looking at things like good design and bringing events downtown, and they have someone focused on that core downtown district. And the reinvestment statistics that come out of this work are that for every dollar invested in one of Maine's downtown districts in this program, there's a $23 return. So it is working. It takes time. It does not happen overnight. It takes an incremental approach, meaning little things. So I guess I would say I would love for the caller to take a look at the National Main Street Center program and what that means to be an accredited Main Street, because I think we're having success.
Mm. And to Barbara's point, Anne, I mean, she was talking about Augusta, the state capital. And I'm wondering, are there some towns that lend themselves to revitalization and are more, this is a better fit for than others, Anne?
Absolutely. I mean, you need to have a core downtown commercial district that's walkable, has a lot of historic buildings, and then has all the assets, you know, around the state or the region outside of that downtown district. It all works together. So there are some downtowns that really, you know, have a little bit longer to go or might never be a good fit for the program. But in general, like I said, we're seeing great success with these towns. The Maine Downtown Center works in 31 communities that are formally part of this program. But we also serve as a resource for any community in the state. So someone can call us up and say, we're looking for where to start focusing on our downtown, and we will work with them to help them out.
Barbara, thank you so much for calling. We are going to go now to Captain Tyler Waterston. He is calling in, let's see here, from Rockland. And he is the owner of a sailing charter business, A Morning in Maine. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
So this to me is something that I would think tourists are coming in and looking for. What kind of trips do you offer? What do you find people want to do?
Well, you know, most people want something that's really accessible and bite-sized, if you will. We offer a lot of two-hour sails. And even if people are traveling through Rockland on their way to Acadia or the rest of the state, it's really accessible. But what we've leaned into more is these longer trips that really get a little bit more immersive and engaging, whether it's hiking on an island, science under sail, or the newest trip that I'm really proud of is our journey through wooden boats with the Apprentice Shop. And that's one that we've done in collaboration with the Maine Downtown Foundation. It's going to be 4 hours sailing, but also a tour and hands-on in the boat shop. And that's something that really just gets a little bit deeper and explores the maritime heritage so important in our state. These longer trips are something I really enjoy. And I think people will really appreciate and enjoy. But a lot of what we do is two-hour sails, and we're really leaning into these longer sails and hoping to gain some traction with those because I just find so much value in them and the collaborations that come out of them.
Captain Waterston, let me ask you this. How do you see your business fitting into bigger goals for the city of Rockland?
Oh, boy. I mean, Rockland has such a big, beautiful harbor. And in some ways, it's so underutilized. You know, we're one of the only tour boats. There's a few other smaller ones, Bufflehead Sailing Charters, a few others that take 6 passengers, whereas we can take 21. But it's really, there's so much room for more. It's amazing sailing. We can get out to Owl's Head Lighthouse in a half hour. And there's so much of the harbor that's been industrial. It's been more commercial. There's still a mix of that and that working waterfront that we're a part of and really proud of. But there's also so much more capacity for visitors and locals to just get out and enjoy the water. And we really try to be good stewards of the harbor, the city facilities where we rent, encouraging other boats to, you know, come enjoy this great place with this great sailing and this great harbor. But also you're building up the other businesses and the other organizations around, whether it's the Apprentice Shop and their boat building programs, our local science center, really just making it a place where everyone can participate, everyone can get out on the water and enjoy this amazing resource we have.
Let me ask you, Tyler, how long have you had your business there in Rockland?
So Morning in Maine has been sailing in Rockland since 1999.
Wow.
This is my 4th year as her steward. She was donated by her original owners to Maine Maritime Academy, and then she was run as a charter boat by Bob Pratt for 23 years in Rockland. He donated her to the Sail Power and Steam Museum. So I'm pretty new with the business. I've been sailing and a captain for 22 years, but new with Morning in Maine. But she's got a long history of not only sailing, but also giving back to these community organizations and these nonprofits. That's something I'm just proud to be her newest caretaker, if you will.
All right. Well, what do you hear from people from away who come and sail with you about their impression of Rockland? Are they surprised?
Are they surprised? I think they're surprised by how big the harbor is. Everyone knows Camden as a place to sail, and I think a lot of people are surprised that it isn't utilized more. We're really proud to show off the working waterfront. There's the old adage, Camden by the sea and Rockland by the smell. It's from the days of canneries and fishing here. But I think people get out on the water and they go, wait, hold on though. There's that smokestack and there's that working waterfront, but this is an amazing harbor. I think they are surprised both by how big it is, but also how little people get out and enjoy it.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, and I hope I wish you improving weather for the bulk of the season. Captain Tyler Watterson is with A Morning in Maine, which is based in Rockland, and Rockland is one of the communities you're working with, right?
Correct. They are one of our nationally accredited Main Streets.
And how long, Rockland has changed so much in the last 20 years. How much of that work has been intentional and how much would you say has just been coincidental?
I think it's probably a combination of both, but I do think the intention of the municipality and the residents and the local businesses in founding Rockland Main Street as an organization to take on this effort allowed that focus on the community. And Tyler referenced how the downtown used to smell because of the processing plants for fish and things like that. And I remember when it was that way, and it's changed a lot. So I think there is intent with sort of bringing the community together about what they want for a vision for their downtown. And they are doing a great job at sort of embracing their working waterfront through organizations like the Apprentice Shop and the museum, and also really encouraging small businesses and local businesses to locate downtown, and organizations like the Island Institute right downtown, really focusing on the support of our island communities.
An email here from Lisa. One of the things Maine is doing to increase student interest in outdoor recreation is through the tech schools, embracing both the traditional Maine outdoor activities and helping students realize all of the opportunities for both employment and their own enjoyment. Skowhegan has a great program at SCTC. Bonus, the instructor is a master Maine guide. Hunting, fishing, basketry, trail making, cane, rafting, outdoor cooking, it is just great. Carol Ann, I see you nodding.
Yes, they're fabulous programs, and a number of the CTEs are offering outdoor recreation specific programs. I believe there's 13 of them, if I'm not mistaken, and many are led by instructors who are Maine guides, which is wonderful to see, but it's a lot of skills building and understanding what it means to be in the outdoors, how to work with people that you may be guiding into the outdoors, but it's not guide training per se, but it's really building that connection to the assets and to the landscape that surrounds them. And ultimately, it helps build stewardship, even if they're not going to become a guide or go into the business per se. It really starts to build that connection back to the landscape that's around them.
Well, we're talking about outdoor recreation as a way to revitalize economies, not just in the rural parts of Maine, but also in downtowns. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, or send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're talking about new life for old towns and how some are revitalizing by promoting the great outdoors, even some places you might not expect. With me, Ann Ball with the Maine Downtown Center and Carol Ann Willette with the Maine Office of Tourism. Share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Delilah Papour, who is Executive Director of Heart of Biddeford. Thanks so much for calling in, Delilah.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, Biddeford sure has seen a lot of things happening. There's a lot of buzz about Biddeford. I know that it has the youngest average age of residents. There's new restaurants, and the mill is a central attraction. Was there a certain catalyst that sent all of this into motion?
Ooh, I think it did help the proximity to Portland. When Portland seemed difficult at a certain point, people started to look around. And then I think the fact that this town has stayed really authentic and supportive of one another, it just seemed like a great place for business owners to start coming, trying things out. There were mill developers who were really innovative, and I think people kind of have been feeling the energy for about the last 15 years and just working together.
Mm, okay, so you don't think it had anything to do with the removal of, I'm trying to remember the name of it, the...
Maine Energy Recovery Company,
yes.
Sure. But that even that happened in the context of people here. We had a heart and soul community engagement process and asked people, you know, what do they never want to lose? What's really important to them? And local people said, we want this to be a family-friendly downtown. We want to make a comeback. And so as the mill, as Merck was closing, it wasn't just like, let's get rid of that and that'll be the solution. It was, let's find a more appropriate use of the downtown space along the river and, you know, seek jobs that are good for people living up to what Merck was able to provide and bring in taxes like Merck was able to provide, but to something more complementary to actually a living community.
How does Biddeford fit into the trend of using outdoor recreation as a hook for visitors and new residents?
Well, like so many of the other main streets, we're so lucky to be on a river, on the Saco River, and so is our, you know, partner community on the other side, Saco. So we have the start of a river walk and plans in place for another pedestrian bridge to cross the river and to grow that river walk longer. So that is always just great, just being able to stop at the different spots that we have now and enjoy that incredible, you know, the sunrise coming up the river or the waterfall. We also have a great 140-acre park just a few blocks from the downtown. So a lot of people come stay in Biddeford or visit Biddeford so they can go out and mountain bike or hike there. But what we've been doing lately is putting together a walking tour. And that might not be like outdoor recreation exactly. You don't put your skis on to do it. But just being able to be in a really walkable downtown space together.
Delilah, I'll ask you the same thing that I asked Amy from Westbrook, because both Biddeford and Westbrook have grown so much so quickly. Any downsides and also any sort of lessons that you might want to share with other communities?
That's so important to be asking. You know, the Main Street program is about asset-based development. So as long as your local community is involved in the redevelopment, things tend to go pretty well. And when you grow faster than what the people can keep up with, sometimes it leads to, like what we have right now, is really high housing costs. That has a lot of downsides for a lot of people. So that's, you know, we don't ever want to stop working on that. But the upsides are that there are so many more people coming here, moving here, opening businesses, finding this to be a welcoming community. And, you know, I think we actually do have a lot more situations where we're able to help one another, folks who are struggling. There is more city support, more nonprofit support here for the fact that the revitalization doesn't always equally benefit everybody.
Delilah, thanks so much for calling in. Delilah Papour with the Heart of Biddeford. And Caroline, I want to build on something that Delilah said, that she said when Merck closed, they wanted to make sure that what came next might still benefit the tax base, might still provide jobs that didn't just have barely a living wage, but a good wage. And that does seem to be the heart of the challenge in using tourism to build an economy, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about places like Westbrook and Biddeford who had mills, whether it was a paper mill or a shoe factory or a blanket factory, and then Rockland with the canning, where people came and made entire careers and raised families based on those wages.
Yeah, I think, Jennifer, so much of what we've been doing is looking at how to, number one, through the Destination Management Plan, get people to stay longer and spend more and make tourism more of a year-round, full-time job career pathway. And we don't do that. We're working more on the marketing side, but when you look at like Tourism Works for Me program at the Maine Tourism Association, they're highlighting so many different career pathways and opportunities for Mainers in the industry. So I think that is evolving. And when you look at these community tourism projects, whereas Delilah mentioned, you've really brought the community, the residents into the process of developing these experiences so that they definitely benefit the communities, they benefit the local businesses, and really help highlight and leverage important initiatives within the community so that the visitor has a deep engagement and understanding of different cultures and different things that are important to that area. But I think the more and more we continue to find those visitors are going to visit Maine through all the seasons and get into these sometimes smaller places that may not have been the destination at one point or another, it helps businesses and people build out that career pathway.
And any thoughts about that as you work to develop downtowns? But I'm sure that it's very important to the project to make these really sustainable in the long term in terms of people being able to have multi-decade careers in what they're doing in these communities.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to what Carol Ann said is that we look at the people who live in Maine as part of our audience for our downtowns, getting people to travel right in state to these places and experience these downtowns and experience these community tourism experiences we've been talking about. And so I hope everyone will take a chance this summer to visit one of these downtowns and see the work that they're doing and visit one of these places, because they are assets and wonderful places right in the state.
We'll go to Archie calling from Union. Hi, Archie. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm happy to hear this program happening, and I love that you started out talking about the arts, my first love, and the outdoors, my equally love with the outdoors. I'm proud and grateful to be married to a Maine guide who's been in business with Maine Outdoors for 40 years. He focuses on people fishing and specifically families. He loves to take these young families, and what he has noticed in all his years, there are some shifts, but one of the pieces is that a lot of young parents are not haven't fished as they were growing up, but they want their children to have those experiences. And so he often connects with these families who are doing, instead of them going with their parents or grandparents to learn to fish, they're coming with this old guide to fish. And he does saltwater as well as freshwater. And our older son has he's a guide who does rock climbing. And I haven't heard that mentioned, but we have so many wonderful places to rock climb in Maine. He has Equinox Guide Service out of Camden. And both Don and Noah have connected with the vocational school. So I was happy to hear you mention the outdoor recreation program that's happening there. And for years, the students, they do a Skills USA program, and Don's been working with that statewide program at this point. So it's amazing. And our youngest son has an island in Liberty, and he has Cedar Island, Maine, and he does glamping. I haven't heard that mentioned either, but so many people are wanting to do a variety of outdoor activities, and we can do that from our little towns, you know, little town of Union or Camden or Rockport or Unity in the Midcoast. We have so many waterways within a short distance of all of our downtowns, and every downtown has something wonderful to offer. So I'm so glad you're doing this show.
Well, Archie, thank you. And one thing that's interesting to me as I listen to you talk and to listen to your own family's story, your husband has done the real traditional outdoors activities that people think of when they think of Maine. But when you're talking about your sons and glamping and rock climbing, sort of an example of how it's a good idea to think creatively.
Mm-hmm. And that older people need to realize that there are wonderful opportunities and embracing them and welcoming and putting our arms around those younger people. And especially with the vocational school work that they're doing, this spring, one of the successful at Skills USA in the program that Dawn was there to score, one of those young people out of the Rockland Vocational School is actually working with our NOAA with rock climbing this summer. So it's definitely the connections that we see, even though things have shifted, there are definitely connections, and we as an older population embracing those, I think, is critical for the future of Maine.
So listening to what you're saying and saying how important it is to have older people embracing, basically you're saying to everybody of a certain age, please don't be skeptical. Please don't say, oh, that'll never work.
Yeah, and you know, we often hear people say, oh, the kids are just on their devices. That's not the case. You know, they're putting those devices aside, and they're utilizing those devices to enhance what they do in a positive way as well. And so it doesn't get in the way. And I know Carol Ann probably has an updated number, but I in front of me see $16 billion coming into the state of Maine, the economic impact of tourism. So it's an all around. And instead of our brain drain leaving the state, you know, encouraging those young people to stay here and look at what we have taught and how many people we hear say, I came to Maine because it's absolutely beautiful. I want to hear young people say, I'm staying in Maine because it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, Archie, thank you so much for calling in and telling us your family story. We're going to move on. We'll go up to Caribou in June. Hi, June. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say, as we open up to environmental tourism in Maine, we need strong regulations to keep things truly small business and to keep private equity out. And to keep corruption out, we need to develop local and state governments of total transparency. And for the first time in human history, this is possible. We can turn technology around, and we need to watch our tribal leaders, aka our government. And another note is the government definition of small business has changed over and over since the 1970s to hide the total decimation of small business in America. And so we have to make very sure that these projects stay in truly small business hands, because money is better spread around to many, many hands, because when wealth is centralized, all they do is buy our government.
June, I think you make a really good point, and we're almost out of time. So I'm going to toss to Anne and ask her about that. You know, we've heard a lot, and we've seen in many other sectors, big investors come and take over and really change the nature of what's going on, no matter what the industry. Is this something that your organization is working to is aware of and working to stem?
Well, what I can tell you is that 90% of Maine's businesses are 10 and under employees. The federal government's definition of small business is 500 and under employees. So in Maine and in the work of the Maine Downtown Center and with our downtowns, we're totally focusing on small businesses and supporting them through all of our work and encouraging them. They're the right size to put in these communities. And they are the people that you live with and go to school with their children. And it is very much part of the work that we do.
Yeah. Well, June, thank you for calling. And that will be our last call for the hour. And thank you both for joining us. The voice you just heard, Ann Ball, Senior Program Director for the Maine Downtown Center. Also with us, Carol Ann Ouellette, Director of Tourism, Film, and Outdoor Recreation with the Maine Office of Tourism. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to learn about the evolving role of Maine's network of land trusts. Is there a land trust in your community? What kind of things does it offer? Do you even know? One more thing, we have a simple way for you to record messages for Maine Calling. Just download the Maine Public app. You may already have it. And go to Talk to Us to leave a voice message. In fact, if you have an updated version of the app, it just pops up. Our show this Friday is about first jobs. We're hoping that people will tell us what your first job was like. And we're talking about summer jobs. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.